Part 3. The Spear of Espandor. Chapter 17. Death in Illyria. The Thandian Pass was burning. From the top of a First Company land raider, Marnius Kalgar appraised the situation at the Museo Illyricus with a sense of weary irritation. There were rebels within the museum. They had a device they said would kill thousands, though they said all they wished was to talk peacefully. Kalgar would not deal with men who would threaten death while speaking of peace. Smoke hazed the air. Woody shrubs burned on both steep slopes either side of the road, the wind shaping the fires into U-shaped lines of flame that advanced on the ultramarine's position. The smoke screen curled across the road in blue sheets, washing over the plascrete roadblock placed across the carriageway some 15 meters in front of the land raider and the line of three rhinos 100 meters behind. Members of the Ultramar Auxilia crouched behind the barrier, guns ready. The roadblock was at the extreme end of the effective range of a las cannon. The fumes from the fires the rebels had set would not help, as the beam focus would diffuse more easily in the smoke. The rebels had made poor tactical choices, but they did have a las cannon, stolen from the militia barracks in Illyricon a week ago. The audacious theft had probably spurred the group into this rash action. Success often bred folly. Kalgar would not hide from them. He wished them to feel his contempt. They called themselves concerned citizens. The very phrase sickened him. The fools in the museum rose up against their protectors at the urging of creatures they could not comprehend. What Marnius Kalgar could not understand was why so many would betray the realm, wittingly or otherwise. Ultramar was under attack. The Cicatrix Maledictum spread its warping fire across the sky every night, and stories of the bloodshed and woe of other worlds spilled freely from the lips of weeping refugees. But in the heart of the nation, traitors still crept out of the dark. This band was but the latest. He should not have to get involved in this. The smoke partly hid the Museo Illyricus situated at the brow of the pass. Details were obscured, but the overall shape was discernible to the unaided eye. The massive drum of the main building, with a three-stepped roof and balconies interposed between the layers. There was an attached tower built over the pass itself, almost equal in girth to the main building and slightly taller. A four-lane road passed under this symbolic gatehouse on the way to Illyria. A very long time ago, this pass was the site of genuine warfare. The rebels aped history crudely, occupying a museum meant to commemorate Macragge's unity. Weak tactics, weak propaganda. Kalgar had come personally to send a strong response. The road was closed, the dense traffic that used it absent. The rebels held the museum. Amateurish, young, poorly led rebels. But they were there nonetheless.
"A desperate, pointless tactic," said Marnius Kalgar of the smoke.
It obscured nothing. His bionic eye saw through it as easily as if it were not there. The walls of the museum were no greater obstacle to his augmetic sight. False colour thermal silhouettes flashed every time he passed his eye over the position of an insurgent. They skulked behind the walls next to windows, stolen weapons held ready to fire. They hid themselves in the balconies between the overlapping roofs, all the obvious places. He shook his head in disbelief.
"Julio!" he voxed. "I have seen enough. It is time to put an end to this."
He stepped down off the front of the land raider and jumped to the ground. If the rebels had any marksmen worthy of the name, they could feasibly have hit him there. Having seen what he had, Kalgar judged himself perfectly safe. He landed as surely as a man 100 years younger, unimpeded by his battle plate or by the massive gauntlets of Ultramar that formed part of it, and walked around the back of the tank. The engine muttered low, trembling the space around the vehicle's rear with heat and noise, and adding blue exhaust to the thin smoke. By the engine block, Sergeant Julio of the 4th Squad, 1st Company, stood with Kalgar's honour guard and the Chapter Ancient, a hulking Primaris space marine by the name of Andron Ney. Ney had been among the first of the Primaris recruits sent to the Ultramarines decades ago, and he had served with distinction. Back then, the new influx of warriors had called themselves the 300. They were new, different, and apart. Now, they were just another valued element of the Ultramarines chapter. The warriors stood to attention and saluted Khalgar with their hands over their hearts.
"Then you will not speak with them, my lord?" asked Julio. "I will not speak with them," said Khalgar. "How many do you count, my lord?" asked Julio.
He wore his Terminator plate, and the rest of his squad waited back with the rhinos. Khalgar had selected them to clear the museum. It was ridiculous overkill for the situation, but statements had to be made.
132. There will be more. You will have no trouble. There could be 1,000. Look at their disposition," said Khalgar. "Can these men truly be sons of Macragge?"
"They will have had little training, my lord," said Julio. "Levels of descent within the Auxilia are practically zero, and most are shipped out as soon as they're trained. The men within are the unsuitable, the weak, the failures."
"The agents of chaos ever appeal to the weak," said Khalgar. "Only weak men would threaten the lives of their own families with devices of mass destruction in order to secure peaceful negotiation. You are my reply to their request, Julio. Their demands are ridiculous. There can be no increase in rations. There can be no slowing of recruitment. The privations of the people of Macragge are done with the aim of stopping the enemy they unwittingly invite within."
"The ringleader is a master of the Juventia," said Ney. "He has a whole troop of them in there. He has poisoned their young ears."
Ney spoke like a man who had never been a child. He was dispassionate, rational to a fault, even for an ultramarine.
"This is not their fault. I look forward to making an example of their leader," said Julio.
"It disappoints me that our countrymen should put on such a poor showing," said Khalgar. "No matter their age and whether they are opposed to us or not, when this is over, call the local Juventia troop masters to the capital."
"They will all be screened thoroughly, my lord," said Ney.
"For betrayal, yes," said Khalgar. "But I want them all re-educated or replaced. This uprising is shamefully executed. The Juventia syllabus needs revision. More drill, less history. The Juventia are the last line of defense for Macragge, and the first place we go to for recruits. How could they stop an orc with this debacle? They're supposed to be young warriors."
"My lord," said Ney.
Khalgar tapped his gauntleted fingers against his leg.
"When you lead the assault, Julio, do not kill the boys," he added. "Most will be before the age of majority. Bring as many in alive as you can. We will make examples of the leaders and the adults, and all the rest of the appalling dregs unhappy enough with their lot in life to listen to the whispers of obvious enemy agents. But the youth must be spared and given the chance to redeem themselves. If the lies of the great enemy seem more appealing than reality of life in Ultramar, and we are seen to be merciless, then we will encourage more to flock to the same foolish cause. Activists, indeed. Locate the device. Purge the leaders."
"As you wish, my lord," said Julio. "Vigilator Optimar Caladuus of the Vigilopurti assures me they can handle this threat without our help. He insists on speaking with you."
"He is here still?" said Khalgar irritably.
"He has been waiting to see you for over an hour," said Julio. "I did say he was insistent."
"I thought if I had him wait an hour, he might take the hint. He is supposed to be overseeing the other incident sites and tracking down the masterminds of this. They will be acting to Mortarian's orders, we can be sure of that. This is a protest movement on the surface. Rot lurks beneath." "Very well. Caladuus will regret remaining here. Send him to me."
Julio inclined his head slightly within the cowling of his armoured suit.
"Send the Vigilator Optimar to us," he foxed. "Lord Macragge will speak with him."
It took seconds for the Vigilator Optimar to come up from the rear of the position. His hurried walk revealed his desire to speak. Caladuus was dressed ready for action in pale cream combat fatigues and blue carapace, the same uniform the Ultramar Auxilia wore, though without their markings. A heavy respirator hung by one fastening from the side of his helmet. Caladuus halted and saluted smartly.
"Vigilator Optimar," said Kalgar. "You have performed your role well for the 5 years you have held this office. Until today. Today you must stand aside. The Ultramarines will handle this."
"My lord, with all due respect, the suppression of local unrest is the role of the Vigil Operti," said Caladuus. "We are ready to bring the situation to an end. Do not trouble yourself with the resolution of this event. It is a minor matter, below your attention."
Kalgar looked up the pass.
"From a certain point of view, Caladuus, you are right. Ardium is besieged, and our fleet fights daily battles with Mortarion's voidcraft in this system. The enemy has penetrated to the heart of Ultramar. Every day I lose more space marines to the enemy in the capital system alone. But this," he pointed at the museum, "this is not beneath my notice. There are 15 current incidents across Macragge, all involving this group. The enemy is so clearly involved in agitating them that I am dumbfounded the rebels cannot see it themselves. The purpose of your organization is to prevent these incidents before they happen, not to contain them afterwards. Your eagerness to resolve this standoff suggests to me that you want to distract from your mistakes or seek my approval for suppressing it. I assure you, my approval will not be forthcoming."
"My lord, we cannot catch every dissident. This year we have foiled..."
Kalgar's armor whined as he shifted his position. The movement was enough to silence the Vigilator Optimar.
"This year you have foiled 26 actions against the state and missed 15 today. You must admit your error. Illyria is too potent a symbol. I am tired of propaganda likening the cutthroats of old to these so-called freedoms. Worse still, their legacy is coupled with the lies of the enemy. First come the demands for greater freedom, then outright heresy. It will not be long before the enemy's religion takes root, and all that offers is miserable slavery. Their leaders lie and pay their respects to the chapter while condemning the civilian administration as corrupt and calling me to address their concerns. I will not have it. The very finest of my warriors shall remove them from this place. Let the whole of Ultramar see what the Ultramarines think of their demands. The realm will see that my eyes are everywhere, and that no one, no matter their age or their station, is below my attention. Nothing, Vigilator, is below my attention. In fact, I am displeased that you think it is so. Do I make myself clear?"
"Yes, my Lord Defender," said the Vigilator Optimar reluctantly.
"The other incidents are being handled by the Vigil Operti, Lord Defender. And the agents behind all this?"
"We are chasing several important leads, Lord Defender."
Lord Defender of Greater Ultramar. Rabute Gilliman had given Kalgar that title in recompense for taking the role of Master of Ultramar from him. The title made little difference to the actualities of Kalgar's rule. The chapter master had presided over Ultramar for centuries before Rabute Gilliman awoke. Apart from the brief period before Gilliman had set out on his Terran crusade, Kalgar's reign had been unbroken. His word was absolute. Caladeus withered under it.
"Then this particular incident here will be dealt with by the Ultramarines personally and publicly," continued Kalgar. "And I will demonstrate that mercy remains with the armory of the chapter. Chaos turns our children against us. What kind of society are we if we punish youthful folly, serious though it is, with death, when all they believe they are doing is getting more food for the hungry? There will be some more guilty than others in that place. I will see them separated and judged according to the relative severity of their error.
The Vigilator's face went stony.
The dissidents will see this as a victory. You say you will not speak with them, and you should not. But whoever is behind this wants you to be provoked into action, my lord. They want your eyes away from the war. If they decide that these little actions can divert a single member of the chapter, they will do it again.
Then they have succeeded, but it will gain them nothing, said Khalgar. I am sending my own message. The Lords of Macragge will not allow any dissent upon the capital world or in any other place.
My Lord Defender, mercy will be seen as weakness.
Mercy is a strength, because it is harder to forgive than it is to slay, said Khalgar. They are children led by demagogues. They will be treated as such.
He turned to his sergeant.
Julio, retake the museum. Save as many of the boys as you can. Try not to destroy the artifacts. They are priceless, and an important reminder that the myth of Illyrian independence is indeed a myth.
Yes, my lord. Squad Julio,
the sergeant voxed.
We hear and obey,
his warriors replied. Armor growling, they marched up from the line of rhinos blocking the road further down, trudging slowly, their huge shapes as solid as the boulders of the passers' crags. Upon reaching their leader, the Terminators fell into formation. Julio drew his power sword and saluted Khalgar.
We march for Macragge.
This is overkill, said Caladuus. An aerial insertion from Valkyries would have been sufficient.
You have spoken. Now be silent, Caladuus, said Khalgar. We will advance into the fullness of their fire, and we will not fall. They will see the Ultramarines cannot be harmed by such as they. Terrorism is pointless.
The auxilia by the roadblock drew back the central wheeled section of rockcrete with long iron hooks, allowing the giant warriors through. When the last clumped by, they hurriedly replaced the segment and hunkered down behind it once again. When the Ultramarines were 100 meters from the museum, the rebels opened fire. A mixture of lasgun beams and solid bullets perturbed the smoke. Many shots went wide, either from incompetence or from fear. Talk of killing an angel of death was the sort of bravado that vanished when battle came. Those shots that hit sparked off the thick battle plate. Caladuus may have been right about the waste of using Terminators for this minor activity, but had the Vigiloperti undertaken the task, several of them would now be dead. The secret police's incompetence in allowing this to happen was irksome, but they were still more used to Khalgar alive. The last cannon fired once and missed. There was a long delay before the second shot clipped the shoulder of Julio's lead warrior. The force of the impact threw him off balance a little, but he shrugged off the strike and lumbered back into formation, his pauldron dripping molten metal. A good lascannon team could focus and fire 4 shots a minute. Khalgar's displeasure at the local Juventia leaders grew. Where was their weapons discipline? Julio's squad plodded on in the unstoppable manner of Terminators. They reached the glass frontage of the museum. One of Julio's veterans smashed the glass with his power fist and walked through into the building. Bullets sparked off his armour as he disappeared inside. The sound of shattering glass tinkled down the pass as the rest of the squad forced their way in. More gunfire blasted at the squad. A grenade went off in the middle of their formation. They strode through the explosion and the bullets without hindrance, and the rest of them vanished from sight. The shooting stopped. There was shouting, both of young men and that of the Ultramarines, loudly amplified via voxmeter. Shooting broke out anew. Now the hard banging of bolters was intermingled with the pathetic popping of stubbers and autoguns. There were screams, more shouting, and then a final stutter of bolt explosions. Similar exchanges were repeated as the unit went room to room. The rebels put up no coherent defence. They were easily overcome. 30 minutes later, a line of young rebels came out of the museum's entrance, hands on their heads. They were ruddy-skinned, flushed with the excitement of combat, but with eyes downcast at their loss. If only they were aware of what their leaders would have taken from them, thought Khalgar. He wondered if the deeper lies had set in yet, and how far these boys had been tempted. The promises of chaos were false. There was no immortality, no freedom from suffering, no easy road to power. Their youth, their health, their vitality, all of it would have been stolen away, replaced with a life in death, where the only blessing was an inuring to pain. It began with a sincere desire to do good. It ended with damnation. He had seen it too many times. A single Terminator came out behind the boys. Khalgar was appalled at how young they were. None were older than 20, and the youngest looked to be 11 standard years. They were herded down the road and made to kneel 20 meters from the roadblock. The auxilia stood to leave their post and aid their masters, but one of the warriors held up a hand.
"Stay back,"
he said, his armor transforming his voice to a terrific shout.
"It is not safe. We have the device. It is biological in nature and unstable."
The auxilia looked to Khalgar. The Lord Defender of Greater Ultramar nodded his head, and they remained on guard. A few moments later, Julio and his remaining Terminators came out of the building. They escorted 19 more rebels, these ones adult, and led them to a space away from the others. Khalgar's vox bead chimed. He accepted the channel.
"My lord," vox Julio, "the device is a cryo-cask, half a man in height. It is leaking. No one should approach any nearer. My sensorium is registering high levels of biological contaminants in the museum emanating from the cask. My guess is all the boys are infected. Keep the mortals back until we have secured the area."
Khalgar cursed under his breath. Even sloppy little insurgencies like this one seemed to have access to biological weapons. It enraged him that any of the people of Ultramar could fall prey to the manipulations of Mortarion. He tried to blame the privations of the war, but he could blame only himself. He turned his anger on Caladuus.
"The building is contaminated. Do you see why I do not want you to go within? Your men would have been exposed. Fortunately, my warriors are completely protected. Can we say the same for yours?"
Caladuus stood ramrod straight, his eyes forward.
"I restate my objections, my lord. The Ultramarines should not be involving themselves in police actions."
Khalgar turned aside. Caladuus stuck to his convictions. He was an able man, Khalgar reminded himself. One mistake did not make someone a failure.
"This terrorism is part of the war that shakes the realm," said Khalgar. "The Ultramarines will be seen in every theatre, no matter how small. Next time, make sure the situation does not progress so far, and we will not have to have another conversation like this. You are dismissed, Vigilator Optimar."
The Vigilator Optimar bowed and walked away without a word, his cheeks burning with Khalgar's rebuke.
"Nay, release these orders," commanded Khalgar.
"My lord,"
responded the ancient.
"Summon Medicaid teams and cleansing units. Decontaminate these misguided young men and have them transferred to the Marsalis Penal Station for assessment and re-education where possible. Every effort is to be made to preserve them. Send those that test well to the penal battalions. Those who do not recant are to be publicly mind-wiped and given over to the tech adepts for servitors."
Khalgar thought a moment. He looked up at the cliffs either side of the pass and visualized the sparsely populated glens that nestled between the mountains thereabouts. There were not many people in the area, but there were some. All it took was one infected human to kill half a civitas. The Emperor alone knew what was in that flask.
"Evacuate the population for 10 kilometers around this point. Have them all tested. Seal off the district. Station auxilia on all the major roads and place perdition beacons around the boundaries. Second 3 land speeders from the chapter reserve to assist Vigiloperti forces in patrolling the area. No one is to enter this part of the mountains until it is safe.
He looked at the Terminator squad.
Julio, guard these children. Once they are dealt with and you are cleansed, call in a Thunderhawk. You are needed in the fleet.
My lord, Vox Julio.
What about the road? Said Ney. The Unitarchs of Illyricon and Testue are anxious that it is reopened. They shall have to wait, said Kalgar.
He seethed inside that a group of failures and juvents could so disrupt the capital planet. He reminded himself that Illyria was but one province on one planet, and that this highway, though the main link between Magna Macrag Civitas and Illyricon, only one route.
The risk is too high. We shall reclaim this region when the time is right. Until we have peace, it will have to wait.
Kalgar glanced into Macrag's flat, grey skies, imagining the embattled fleets in the void and the ongoing siege of Ardium.
And it may have to wait some time.
There was a commotion at the rear line where the 3 rhinos waited. A tech marine, his helmet bulky with specialized surveillance and comms equipment, came running.
My lord! My lord!
He shouted. He came to a stop and got down on one knee.
I have word from the capital. The Primarch has sent you an astropathic message.
Yes,
said Kalgar. He experienced a curious mix of dread and elation. He had admitted to himself long ago that ceding all control to the Primarch was hard. He did not look forward to doing so again.
He is at the outer reaches of the system. He is making all speed to Ardium, where he intends to break the siege.
Upon hearing this news, the warriors of Ultramar, both human and transhuman, let out a joyous cheer.
Call me a transport, said Kalgar. I must return. We must make ready to aid him.
My lord, the message is explicit. You are to remain here to guard Macrag. Lord Gilliman wishes to prevent opportunistic attacks on the capital world.
Does he have enough men? Captain Ventress informed us months ago that he intended to break up the crusade.
Captain Ventress is with him, and Captain Sicarius, said the tech marine. The Primarch does not need your aid, my lord. He comes with 15,000 space marines and 3 sector battle fleets.
Again, the warriors cheered.
Mortarion will be surely driven from the system. With our Lord Gilliman home, we can take the fight to the enemy,
shouted Kalgar. He raised one of the mighty gauntlets of Ultramar.
All hail Gilliman, master of Ultramar!
His triumphant smile hid the hollowness he felt inside. The Primarch returned to find his realm still racked with war. Objectively, Kalgar had performed no better than Caladuus. He let his hand drop and bade the Land Raiders' doors be opened to him. As he was clambering inside, Julio voxed him.
What shall I do with the older prisoners, my lord? Mercy or death?
Kalgar paused in the side hatch of the Land Raider, his hands gripping the lip of the hull unnecessarily hard.
Death, he said.
Kalgar boarded the tank to panicked shouts cut short by the bangs of bolt rounds annihilating flesh. The sound followed him all the way to the main highway, where faster transport waited.
For the first time in a long time, Marnius Kalgar felt like a failure.